The sermon title today is The Makeover. A little over 2,000 years ago, Christ was crucified. And he died so that we might have life, and that we might not only have life, but we would have life fully, abundantly, and eternally. He died so we could be reunited with our Heavenly Father. Sin had separated us, but Christ's death made a way back to God for you and I today. Can you imagine something that happened 2,000 years ago, but yet every day the Christian is still receiving the benefits from that? I want you to think about that just a moment. A little over 2,000 years ago, something happened. It was Jesus when he gave his life on Calvary for you and I today, and we still yet today are receiving the benefits from it daily. Not just once in a while, but daily we receive the benefits of what Jesus has done on the cross. Every day, saint, you benefit from what Christ did at Calvary. Let me give you a little background. Turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10, and we'll look at some background information today. So John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. You've read this so many times in faith school and in the sermons in the last few months, you should have this one memorized. But John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. And this command I have received from my Father." Verse 15, it says what? "I lay down my life." Verse 17 says what? "I lay down my life." Verse 18 says, "I lay down my life. No one takes it from me." Jesus was not killed at the cross. The religious leaders did not kill Jesus. Satan did not kill Jesus. Satan orchestrated to have the righteous leaders do it, or the religious leaders of the day do it, but they could not do it. No one could take Jesus' life. Why? Because he gave it. He gave his life for you and I. Verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. And this command I have received from my Father." And did you see how in the scripture it includes you and me? When you back up there just a little farther, in verse 16 it says, "And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Speaking of the Jewish nation. But he says it's not just a Jewish thing. It's just not a Jewish nation thing. He says, "And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold," the Gentile nation, "them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd." There will be one flock. There will be one church. And the Lord Jesus is the shepherd of that church. And we praise him forevermore. Verse 18, "I lay it down, and if I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it back up." And that is just exactly what he did. In verse 10, he gave his life so that you might have life. And that you would not only have life, but you would have it abundantly, and you would have life eternally. The Lord Jesus has done that for each and every one of us today, and he did it for each and every person in the world that still has not accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life. He died for them as well as he died for us. And it's our job as a church to share the message. Jesus died so you could have life. Are you tired of having just a terrible life? Do you want life abundantly? Let me tell you, I believe that since I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he has blessed my life. Saints, has he blessed your life? Are you living life abundantly because of what Jesus has done for you and what he has done for me? Amen. Amen. A message to the young people. You want to be fruitful? You want to be fruitful in your life? Then accept Jesus. Follow him. Have him lead your life. Not you, but have him lead your life. And you will have a life that is fruitful. God wants us and he desires for us to be fruitful. And we praise him forevermore. Turn with me to John chapter 19, verse 25. John 19 and verse 25. In verse 25 of John 19, we come to the time of the crucifixion. In verse 25, he says, "Now there stood by the cross Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary and the one Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John the Beloved, standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to be into his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'What? It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." The whole crucifixion, that not a bone of him should be broken. And the whole process of the crucifixion. And the Lord Jesus fulfilled all of prophecy, that there was not a bone of him that was broken. Because all the other people on the cross that day, they wanted to get him down off the cross because it was Passover. They didn't want to have all that discouragement of looking at those people on the cross. That's a terrible thing to look at when we're having this celebration. So what did they do? They knew that they weren't dead, so they come along with a hammer and broke their leg. Because that was a part of the breathing process. The only way you could breathe is to push yourself off. But Jesus didn't have to have that done. Why? Because he gave his life. He gave his life. All things were accomplished. Scripture was fulfilled. It is finished. The ultimate sacrifice was made. The penalty for our sin was paid in full. And when all was accomplished to fulfill Scripture, he gave his life. Let's go back to Genesis, the very first prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And what does it say in Genesis 3 verse 15? "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The battle lines are drawn. There will always be a spiritual battle between good and evil. Satan would bruise Jesus' heel. This is what the scripture is telling us. That Satan would bruise Jesus' heel. How did he bruise his heel? Through the process of crucifixion. But Jesus would provide a killing blow to the head of the adversary. This killing blow was made at Calvary. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave for all of eternity. The power in depth is sin. The power of death is sin. And Jesus defeated sin that day. So how does all of this affect me daily? Well, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah is after Isaiah and after Proverbs and Psalms in that area. But if you go to Jeremiah 13 and look at verse 23, it says this. Jeremiah 13 verse 23. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots?" So it's Jeremiah 13, verse 23. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil." On a leopard, you could paint him. On a leopard, you could dye him, but you can change them. You can't change them. The spots are still there. We like to do makeovers. But in reality, there's not much we can change. You can redo an old car, and you might really like old cars, and it may be beautiful when you get done, and I like them. But you know what you have? You have an old car. You can redo an old house. Jason and his crew can come in and redo the whole thing for you. But when you get all said and done, you've got an old house. I could put a wig on and put makeup on, but still scare myself in the morning when I look in the mirror. We are very good in this nation of covering up the old. But the old is still there. Remember the old sacrificial system? It had to be repeated year after year after year after year. The old nature sin just kept showing back up. It's like the spots on that leopard. But God is able to do something in our lives that no one else can. And we cannot do it ourselves. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and if you're an underliner in your Bible, this is a passage of Scripture that should have parentheses around it or should be underlined so you remember it to share it with other people. But in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And verse 17 again, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." God, through Christ, is the only one that can make a leopard have no spots. I want to say that again. God, through Christ, is the only one that can make a leopard have no spots. Through Christ, you are brand new. It's not old sin that is covered up. It's not our old nature covered up. We are a brand new creation. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no past sins. There are no more spots in your past that you need to forgive about, or you think that God is going to bring them back up and show them all over again to you. Satan is the one that likes to do that. The guilt is gone to plague us no more. Do you hear me? No more. And I know that saints are held down by the past. They're held down. And what does the Apostle Paul says? "Not forgetting those things behind," or "forgetting those things behind, I keep pressing toward the upward call in Christ Jesus." We have to let the past go, because the Lord Jesus has forgiven us for that. We were a brand new creation at that time. We were created spiritually brand new on the inside. If there was any spots in your life, they are gone. They're not just covered up. They are gone through the life that was given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. He remembers our sin no more. He throws them as far as the east is from the west. He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. They are gone forevermore. If it's being brought up to you, you're either doing it yourself or you're allowing Satan to do it to you. But he has no hold on you. He has no hindrance over you. You need to take authority over him in the precious name of Jesus. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, we read from verse 19. Hebrews 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God, inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath. Talking about the Lord Jesus. That was a good thing that was coming. For they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Meaning there was no beginning and there was no end to the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. The New Testament. The New Covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus is interceding for you today. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which we came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Now you remember at the beginning of the sermon, daily as children of God, we benefit from the cross, something that happened 2,000 years ago. Well, here it is again in verse 25. He says, therefore he also, able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. After we accept Christ and we are born again, it doesn't mean we never sin. Doesn't mean you need to be saved again. But it doesn't mean that you don't sin. But when I do, I have a high priest that I can come to forgive me of that sin. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, you're almost there. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, those things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is our high priest. And he himself is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. There's only one salvation, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're saved and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he that believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth shall be saved. Have you made that heartfelt confession of Jesus Christ as desiring and accepting him as the Lord and Savior of your life? What are you doing when you're doing that? You're accepting his sacrifice, his shed blood that was shed for each and every one of us. When we do that and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Scripture tells us and it supports to us that we are sealed for the day of redemption. You get that? You don't always have to, every time you make a mistake, come up and ask Jesus into your heart, accepting him as Lord and Savior of your life, because you've already done that. And because you have done that, and when you did it and you meant it, then you were sealed for the day of redemption. So what are we saying here? We still make mistakes. This is something the church isn't very good at. You see, the church is really good about accepting Jesus. And I believe there's more churches than me, or this one, that's just preaching salvation, that you must accept Jesus Christ and be born again to enter the kingdom of God, as the Scripture tells us. There's not enough doing it, but I know we're not the only ones. But what the church is not good at doing is seeking forgiveness. You see, we all need forgiveness. You want to know what the secret revival is? I believe is when a church begins to humble itself and ask God's forgiveness. What does he say in Chronicles? I will heal the land. We all make mistakes. And what did he just say in the scripture? If we say that we do not sin, we make him a liar. We all make mistakes. What mistake did you make when you got up this morning? What mistake did you make yesterday? What mistake did you do a week ago that you haven't confessed? The church, as a church body. No, I don't need you all to run up here and get saved all over again. You're already saved if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But boy, we need forgiveness. We serve a holy and righteous God. And we make mistakes. We say things. We think things. You see, in the scripture, I'm talking about a makeover that lasts. A makeover that works. Maybe in your life you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but it's time for a makeover. It's time for a redo, a restart. Time to clean out the closet. Lord, I need your forgiveness in my life because I know I make mistakes. I know I do things wrong. And the church is not as good at that as it should be. We get embarrassed. Well, I don't want to come forward because everybody will think I'm a sinner. You're all sinners. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner that is saved by grace. And I still make mistakes. I'm still frail. I still live in a body of flesh. Sometimes I have fleshly thoughts. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I get frustrated. And when I do that, I need to come back to my great high priest and tell him, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Because that was not Jesus-like when I said that or did that or thought that. Let's pray that. Let's pray today. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Father, for your word that blesses us, that nurtures us, that feeds us, that equips us, that strengthens us, but also it challenges us of the things that we need to change in our life. And as we say this prayer today, there's probably something in everybody's mind that pops into their mind. I know I need to work on this area of my life. I know that over here I need forgiveness because I did this and I shouldn't have done it. I said this, I shouldn't have said it. I thought this and I shouldn't have thought it. Lord, forgive me as we come before you today as a congregation that you would forgive us for the mistakes, the errors that we make on a daily basis as we walk in the flesh and help us to walk away from those things, never to do them again, never to do them anymore. That our lives will be changed completely. And when people look upon us, they will see the image of our Father. We ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.